Well, Jeremiah 37, verse 12, and Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to receive his portion there in the midst of the people. Well, what are we to make of this? I'm going to give a few options, but they're all rather sort of negative, really, on Jeremiah. I think this was a moment of weakness in some ways. And that makes me pause and think, why are nearly all the examples of people that you have in the Bible, why are they all so flawed? I suppose you could say that there was a couple that weren't. I think of Joseph and Samuel, Daniel, those three. Although you could make a case that with each of them there were elements of weakness if you look closely at the text. But I think perhaps that the fact that all these biographies in the Bible, and the Bible is largely on one hand a set of biographies really, I think they're all of weak, flawed people because we can relate to them. In other words, the Bible is not a collection of saints, a book of saints. Not at all. And of course it all leads up to providing the great background against which the Lord Jesus appeared, the one perfect Son of God and Son of Man. Now, these days it is more common to offer positive examples in education, in training, etc. But God works a different way, clearly enough, in the way that he's educating us through the Bible, that he's giving us examples of people who've got weakness. I think so that we should not be discouraged unduly by our own failure, but to see that actually this is characteristic of all God's people. So why do I say then that I read this a bit negatively? Well, in chapter 32, he'd been told to purchase a field, but that he'd only receive that field at the restoration. Well, clearly the restoration hasn't come. The Babylonians have temporarily retreated from Jerusalem, which they were encircling until this point. And Jeremiah slips out because he wants to receive his portion there, it says, in the land of Benjamin. It says in verse 12, well, he'd been told he was only going to receive his portion at the restoration, not in this life. Well, not immediately anyway. And it's like he wanted to have the kingdom now without sort of having the cross before the crown, as it were. And it was, I think, a momentary weakness. I mean, he was obviously under a lot of pressure. The things that he suffered would have given anybody post-traumatic stress syndrome, and he wanted to just get away from it all. And, yeah, I've bought this field. I want to inherit it. I want to go live there. I don't want to live here in Jerusalem. I want a quiet life when I retire. And as I say, it says he went to receive his portion when he had been told that the whole point of buying that field was that he would enjoy that inheritance at the restoration and not in this life. So I think it was a momentary lack of judgment on his part, rather like Moses when he speaks, as the record says, inadvisedly with his lips, when he strikes the rock instead of speaking to it. Now the AV has, he went out to separate himself from thence in the midst of the people, which could also imply he just had enough of the ministry in Jerusalem, and yet he'd been called to be a prophet to those people. But you could read that as him saying, I've had enough, I quit. I just want to go back to that bit of land I got in Benjamin, near where I grew up, and just live there. And again, it doesn't sit well, does it? Or you could say that, well, he had in Jeremiah 21 told the people that they must accept that they had sinned and they must accept the yoke of Babylon upon them. So maybe he was setting an example. Maybe he was going out to the Babylonians to say, yeah, you know, I will go over to your side because this is what I think that all Judah should do. He tells Zedekiah to do this, you know, humble yourself, go out to the Babylonians, surrender to them, accept whatever yoke they put upon you because this is the just judgment for your sins. And if you do that, you will survive. Now you could say that he was doing that, but that position is rather nuanced against when he's arrested in the gate of Benjamin in verse 13, and Erijah, the captain of the guard, says, you're falling away to the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and he immediately says, "It is false, I am not falling away to the Chaldeans." But he didn't listen to him, as if, well, he said that, but he was not believed. Well, why would he deny it if that was true? Why didn't he turn around then and say, well, yeah, that's what God has told us all to do, to surrender to them. So that's what I'm doing. But he doesn't. He just denies it. And in any case, the Babylonians, as we see from verse 11, were scared by the Egyptian army and were actually retreating. So this is typical, I think, of little incidents in the Bible where I think the narrative is intentionally vague so that we might think and reflect on why somebody did something, and there is no particularly right or wrong reconstruction of the events, but I think it's there so that we enter into the narrative. Why did Jeremiah slip away, or try to slip away, out of Jerusalem and go back to Benjamin, where he came from? Well, you know, there is no, as I say, right or wrong reconstruction, but we are invited to enter into it so that we might enter into the narrative more, and it becomes a living word to us.